Probably make the I'll make the announcements at later on too, but we're starting a church plant today at 3:30 in Stony Brook. I think it's once in a lifetime that you could be participating in something like this. And God has given this church a tremendous blessing that we could be part of this, and you could be part of it. Okay, you could be part of it through your prayer, physically, and whatever the means. And I pray that you would have a desire. Okay, so that's happening today. On this first Sunday of 2024, the title of the message that Lord gives to this church is the Day of God's Visitation. The Day of God's Visitation. It's an intriguing title. Has God visited your life? I'm really asking you this question. Has God visited your life? What kind of day would that be in your life? Would that be an exciting day? Would that be a day that you're so afraid of? Okay? The title of the message for today, for this church and for your life, is the Day of God's Visitation. And in the Old Testament, the expression Day of Visitation refers to when God comes and visits his people to deliver and to save. So for salvation and deliverance. Let's look up here, please. Yeah. Okay. It's for salvation and deliverance. At the same time, the same expression is used for day of him coming and doing the judgment. Okay. That's Christianity. Okay. That's Christianity. God saves from the judgment. If you notice, Jesus already has come. God has already come to save. And he is calling you. He's calling you to follow him. And many are resisting and saying foolish things. We're going to see. Just constantly saying foolish things. Follow me. Right? And basically, he is coming back to judge the living and the dead. And that's what Christianity is. And I hope that's the Christianity that you are believing in. So this first Sunday of 2024, I want us to be reminded of from last time where we left off from 1 Peter, what we are and what this life is about. What is your life about? What is 2024 about? Just do the same thing, right? Make money. Raising kids. Just do the same thing. Is that what it is? Scripture clearly does not say that. From last time, the scripture says, but you are a chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, a people for his own possession. That's who you are if you are in Christ. If anybody is part of this chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, and people for his own possession, would you say amen? Amen. I'm going to ask one more time. See whether you belong to that or not. If you are a chosen race because of Christ, royal priesthood, holy nation, people for his own possession, would you say amen?
Amen.
It's not everybody. The whole world is not. There is the world and then there is holy nation. There is the whole world and there's a chosen race. That's what Christianity is. And unless you're part of it, you're part of the world. That's what the scripture says, but it's a tremendous statement. Christianity is not a lame thing. Those of you who think it's like a lame thing, love one another, be nice to each other, and give an offering once in a while, and, you know, go to missions here and there. If you think that, you're mistaken, greatly mistaken, because scripture speaks a lot stronger than that. You are a chosen race, holy nation, people for his own possession. What's the purpose? So that you may proclaim. you may proclaim the excellencies of who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you're in Christ, you have that testimony of life of darkness and coming into the light. A lot of times when I ask people, so how did you come to know the Lord? And I ask this question a lot. And American, brothers, they ask this question, and not to offend people, they really want to see the hand of God that is real in your life. And people ask you, so how did you come to know the Lord? And a lot of people say, oh, I went to a retreat when I was in youth group. That doesn't explain anything, right? So what happened? What kind of darkness were you living in? And what kind of light, what kind of different light, completely different life are you living in right now? That's what testimony is. Here, it says, he calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Does anybody could say amen to that? Could you say amen if that describes you? People who are, like, let's say addicted to drugs, I guess that's very obvious. You're addicted to shopping. Anybody addicted to shopping? I know people inside the church. You know, people shop and they don't even open their packages. Does that describe you? You addicted to games, addicted to pornography, addicted to your self-grandiose dreams. All kinds of addiction, and God delivers you. That's darkness, people. That's darkness. Bible is declaring that the whole world is living in darkness. Okay? And the purpose of our life is to proclaim his goodness. And that's what I want to do this year. 2024, I am scheduled to preach every Sunday three times a week. I'm three times on Sundays. Do you like, yeah, you're a pastor, you're supposed to do that. No. Not all pastors do that. I'm going to be preaching three times on Sundays, starting today. I'm not feeling 100% right now, recovering from flu, but I've been praying for this day. Okay, the first Sunday of 2024, where we're starting a new year and new church plant, and I want to proclaim his goodness. Would you like to proclaim proclaim his goodness? Amen. Would you say amen? Amen? Oh, that sounds amen. That doesn't sound like you're ready to proclaim. Would you like to proclaim his goodness? Would you say amen?
Amen.
I know it's not everybody. Proclaim is not kind of like pleasing that person's ear. That's not it. Proclamation is not of you. Proclamation of him. I want to proclaim his goodness, not to please you, but drawing people to himself. So that's what our life is about, and we are living in a world just like Peter's audience and Christians in the first century, in a very unkind world to the Christians. Christians are not welcome in this country. Okay? If you truly want to speak the truth and live a righteous life, you will be despised and persecuted. Is that true? That's exactly what Jesus said. You will be hated, persecuted, and despised, not because of you, but because of me, Jesus said. What about him? It's because of his word. It's because of his gospel. It's so offensive to every human being until you submit to him. Okay? Can I just explain that? Is gospel really offensive? You know, basically, gospel is saying all men needs to come to subjection and submission before the Lord. Have you done that? Until you do that, you're going to be offended every single Sunday in this church. Every single Sunday. You will be offended. Okay? Gospel calls you to repent and turn from your selfish way and rebellious way. And until you do that, you're going to be offended. Or you just shut your ears, basically. It is offensive. First Peter in chapter 2, he explained it this way. For those of you who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected, that's referring to Christ, has become the cornerstone, most important stone, right? But that stone is stumbling and rock of offense to those who do not believe. He's going to stumble you. He's going to offend you, okay? They stumble, and the explanation is they stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do, as they were chosen to do. Very stern reality. Not everyone will respond. But that's what the Christianity is. That's what the gospel is. In this background, but he's telling you, now you are my chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, people for his own possession. And that's the Christian gospel. Do you see the clarity? So what's the purpose of your life in 2024? Do you have one? I hope it's to proclaim. Not kind of like pleasing people's ears. Not just kind of survive through, but proclaim his goodness. So how did that happen? Because he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And Jesus taught this very, very clearly in John chapter 15. Let me just read it to you. If you were of the world will love you. There's only two worlds, the world and then there is kingdom. You either belong to the world or you belong to the kingdom. Jesus is saying, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Let me repeat that. I chose you, choosing election, chose you out of the world, and therefore the world hates you. And that's the word of the Lord, Jesus himself. Do you see? Do you see the clear declaration there? I chose you out of the world, so you don't belong into the world. So if they persecuted me, and they did, and they killed him, they will also persecute you. And these things they'll do to you in account of my name is because of Jesus' name. Okay, because they do not know him who sent me, and whoever hates me hates my Father also. The key statement is, I chose you out of the world. Could you think about that? Has that happened in your life? The greatest thing in all my life is exactly that. The greatest thing, and after 60 years of my life, is the greatest thing that has ever happened in my life, is that he has chosen me out of this world to be his people. Galatians 1:4 says, Jesus gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God and our Father. So in this background, today we read today's text, only two verses I'm going to try to cover. And this is for the first Sunday of 2024. I don't know where you are right now. Do you have any passion for this year? Amen. Thank you, Ty. Yeah. Okay, here is two verses for the church. Beloved, he's speaking to the church. Christians who are born again with a spirit inside them. This is not for the unbelievers. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh. Okay. As sojourners and exiles. It's interesting because we are holy nation, royal priesthood, and chosen generation. At the same time, with that great privilege, in this world, we are sojourners and exiles. What does that word mean? Sojourners basically means temporary resident or migrants. We hear that word a lot in New York right now. Migrants. We Christians are migrants. Okay, sojourners and exiles. We saw that word in chapter 1, chosen exile or elect exiles. An exile means immigrants, people who settle temporarily in a foreign country. I came to the United States in 76, and I was a Korean citizen, and I settled as a resident in the United States. And that's who we are, exiles. This is not our country. That's what the scripture is saying. So basically saying, I urge you as migrants and immigrants, and that's who we are as Christians, to abstain from the passions of the flesh or the passionate sinful desires of the flesh. And how do you do that? The only way you could do that is to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have any desire to live like that. In fact, you are slave to sin. You're always following the passions of your flesh. This fight must happen so that next verse will happen. If that's not happening inside, what's going to be described on the outside, it's not going to happen. Okay? So I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct or life among the unbelievers, Gentiles, honorable. That's external. That's life. That's not going to happen unless verse 1 is happening. Unless you're walking with the Holy Spirit, fighting to abstain the passions of the flesh, that is not going to be happening. Okay? So keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable so that when they speak against you as evildoers, okay, accusations and slanders, which will be unavoidable, they may see your good deeds, good life, and glorify God on the day of visitation. And that's today's passage. And for us to be able to live a life of proclamation, okay? Can I just ask you first, how many of you want to live a life to proclaim his goodness? Would you say amen? Stan, these three things you need to pay attention to. Number one, you need to remember that you are sojourners and exiles, okay? This is not your home. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. We have been taken out of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior, and that's what Christian life is. Would you say amen to that? Amen. Otherwise, this doesn't apply to you. You need to come to Christ first because it doesn't apply to you. Okay, that's the first thing. And second thing is to abstain from the passions of the flesh and sinful lust or epithumia. I've been using that word. You know, there's that, I want to buy this. I want to have a sexual relationship. I want to obtain that. And it is so powerful. You can't rest until you get that. You must get this. You must have this person or your sexual drive. So you cannot help but to open that pornographic site again. What is that? Epithumia. Passions of the flesh. And you live as a slave. But you as a Christian, you still have to going to have to fight that, but you have the Holy Spirit to fight. It's no longer you will be always be beaten. Because of the Holy Spirit, in fact, you will be victorious. Would you say amen to this? Amen. That's what Christianity is. Unless you become a Christian, you're a slave to the sexual drive and your purchasing drive. I know someone who buys stuff and not opening their packages. Is that you? You cannot help but just buy stuff. Now I have money coming in. I could handle $100, $200. Sexual drive, purchase drive, and next vacation drive. My next good dinner drive. Okay? But abstain from passions of the flesh, sinful lust, epithumia, or desire of this world, with the power of the Holy Spirit. With the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not for maintenance. Holy Spirit is for transformation. Would you say amen? If your life is not changing toward Christ, you're not walking with the Holy Spirit. You're not. There's no way you are. Imagine you go on a missions trip with me for a couple of weeks. And some of you did last month. And 2 months, I'm pretty chill these days. But in the past, I was very, very kind of like uptight. If a person doesn't behave well, I always let him know. If you spend 2 weeks with me, you will hear from me. Those of you who went to Africa with me, would you say amen to that? Yeah, some more than others. But imagine you walk with the Holy Spirit and your life is not changing. That's a lie. That's impossible. You're being deceived. That's a lie. Your life will be affected. Holy Spirit now will not leave you alone. He loves you, right? He has the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. God has already given you the desire, and he gives you strength so that you will be able to overcome the sinful sexual drive that you are addicted to. Okay? So that's second. And third, keep your conduct honorable and good among the Gentiles. If you live as a sojourners and exile, would you be so greedy? Would you be so greedy? Always worried about money. Always concerned about money. That's what I hear in the ministry. Like, money. I got to have more money. I got to just make more money. You're a slave to that. See? Keep your conduct honorable, good, righteous among the unbelievers. So this unbelieving world sees you and try to slander you, try to accuse you. They'll be able to see your good deeds and be able to honor God on the day of visitation. And we'll talk about that. So that's the plan for today. Peter is saying our conduct and our deeds and life demonstrate realness of Christian gospel. Do people see realness of Christ through your life? Do people see realness of Christ in your life? Do your parents see realness of Christ of your life, through your life? Don't look at me like with no focus. Come on, people. Think with me. Do people see the realness of Christ in your life? Do people see, wow, God must be real for him to give that up. Wow, God must be real for him to let go of that. Do people see that in you? I hope so. I hope so. If you're just like the world, obviously there is no evidence. Alexander McLaren, the great Scottish preacher, he wrote, listen to this, the world takes its notions of God, most of all from the people who say that they belong to God's family, from us, okay? And they read us a great deal more than they read the Bible. In fact, they see us and they only hear about Jesus Christ. I think he's making a point. He's really making a point. If Lord gave himself for me and gave me a salvation, would you want to honor him? I hope you do. And how do you honor him? Through your life. Through your conduct. Through your direction of life. Through your style of life. Amen? Amen. Come on. Let's not be coward about this. Let's not be unreasonable about this. It's interesting because this foolish, if you look at verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Meaning people try to accuse Christians for all kinds of stuff. If you preach the truth, people will try to accuse you for all kinds of stuff. It's unavoidable. So if you look at the history, especially in the first century, if you study the persecution of the first century church in Roman world, you note all kinds of ridiculous slanders and accusations. Listen to this. I want to share this. This is what people accuse Christians of first century of. Those poor, life-giving, persecuted Christians, and yet the world slander them like this, accuse them like this. They accuse Christians of insurrection. Okay? Guilty of rebelling against the Roman government, all other human authority, and they accuse even Jesus of insurrection. Can you believe that? Jesus is one person who could turn the Roman Empire upside down, but he didn't. He went to this ridiculous trial by Roman government, and he was sentenced to death, and he died. And they call him an insurrectionist. Ridiculous accusation. They accuse Christians of insurrection. Secondly, they accuse Christians of atheism. How ridiculous is that? What do you mean by that? They are atheists. What they mean is this. Roman world has so many gods, like Roman gods, but Christians refuse to believe in them because they believe in God. But most importantly, Roman emperor they worshipped as God, they would not worship. So they accused them, you are atheist. Do you see how ridiculous this is? Okay. They accuse Christians of cannibalism. You know, cannibalism is eating human flesh. Unless you eat it and drink of my blood, you have no part in me, Jesus taught. Oh, they do something called like a communion, love feast, and they accuse them of being cannibals. Can you believe that? And number four, they accused Christians of immorality, incest. So ridiculous. Scripture speaks so clearly about immorality, sexual perversions, right? Number five, people accused of first century Christians of endangering trade and social progress. They're not really cooperative. And they also accused Christians of wrecking family life. Bible continues to teach about husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husband as church submit to Christ. And they're accused of family, wrecking the family. They accuse them of leading slave to rebellion. They're accused of hating men because of they oppose the world system. They accuse them of disloyal to the Caesar because they were not, they would not call him the Lord or Curious because Jesus is the Curious. Do you see that? The world will find every possible way try to accuse Christians. It's unavoidable. It's unavoidable. But when you consider these things, first of all, if you look at every accusation listed above, are taught and mentioned clearly against what they were accused of. Bible always speaks about don't do that. Don't live the life of immorality. Submit to the government. We're going to look at it, right? And husband, love your wives. Slaves, listen to your masters. All of these things are clearly taught, and yet the world will accuse them. Do you see what's happening? Bible and Peter is basically saying these accusations and hatred and persecution of this world toward Christians is unavoidable, people. Look at me, unavoidable. Okay? And basically, Peter is saying, and the scripture is saying, only way to put away all of these is through your life. Life of purity and righteousness. Okay? For this is the will of God. And by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Would you say amen? Amen. That's our calling. Pretty challenging. Right? But we have the Holy Spirit and God with us. And the world will accuse us. They will never stop. But we have the Holy Spirit with us. And we have the grace of God with us. Okay? So if you think about it, by the way you live, listen people, by the way you live, you either feed the fire of criticism or you're going to extinguish them. People accuse you. But the way you live will continue to feed fire. Yeah, Christians are, they're just hypocrites. They're just talkers. Or they will see your life and basically say, wow, Christianity is real. It's real. Okay? Your parents who do not believe will look at your life and say, yeah, Christianity is nothing. Or they'll say, yeah, Christianity is real because of you. Your unbelieving husband could basically say, yeah, Christianity is just not, that church thing is nothing. Or they could say, wow, Christianity is transforming and real. We'll either affirm disbelief or we'll confirm to the validity of the gospel. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, look at me, you are the light of the world. You cannot avoid this. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Can you imagine hiding New York City? Can you hide New York City? You can't. City on a hill cannot be hidden. No, do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You are the light of the world. If you receive that, would you say amen? You are the light of the world. Don't be a coward. If you are a Christian, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Okay? 2024, may God give you courage. Courage. I really do pray. You know, if you come to our prayer meeting, we always pray for this. May God give you courage so that you don't just kind of back out. You always seem like you're ready to back out. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, I've been doing this ministry long enough to say that. Some people just ready to just back off. Should anything happen, I'm out of here. Man, you can't build anything with people like that. We're hoping to build a church. We're hoping to plant a church. And we're praying for a church, not just gathering of anybody, but we're really praying for people who would put their life for what they say they believe. And that's the kind of Christians that we are praying for at Stony Brook, as we are praying here at New Heart. So in order to live a life of proclamation of his excellencies and greatness, secondly, he says, abstain from the passions of the flesh which war against your soul. Let me ask you, Scripture is very clear, the passion of your flesh war against you. Is that true? How many of you say it is true? I'm going to ask one more time. How many of you say it is true? Would you say amen? It is true. It is true. If you follow the passions of your flesh, you will die, Bible says. You will die. Romans chapter 8, if you follow your flesh, you will die. Bible is not apologetic about this because he loves you. Bible loves you. God loves you. If you follow the passions of your flesh, not leading of the Holy Spirit, you will die. Okay? So first of all, this command is for Christians. Abstain from the passions of the flesh, which war against all the souls. In other words, unless you have the Spirit of God, you would not even think about this. You would not even think about this. Do you think about this? Unless you're a Christian, you will not even think about this. Okay? Remember, this is a war or warfare. As beloved, sojourners and exiles. So it's ridiculous for you to be greedy in this foreign world. Bible says greed will cause you to, your sin to rise. Okay? So as a sojourners and exiles, as a kingdom citizens with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you will see this and you're going to try to fight this. Okay? Otherwise, you don't even think about this. Therefore, I think this is real and unavoidable, and you will be victorious. And would you say amen to that? If you are a Christian, you will be victorious. There's no question about it. If you're born of God, if the Spirit dwells in you, and because of that transforming power of the Holy Spirit lives in you, you will be victorious and you will be transforming. And let me just ask you, is that happening in your life? If not, you're not walking with the Holy Spirit. Maybe there is no Holy Spirit. I don't know. I'm not taunting, but I'm just trying to teach what the Scripture says. If this is not happening in you, maybe you're not walking with the Holy Spirit. You're not living a Christian life. Okay. The passion of the flesh referred to craving, powerful craving of sin nature, sexual drive. Probably the best example that most of us could relate to. Don't tell me if you're not fighting it, you're yielding to it. If you're not fighting it, let me say again, you're yielding it to it. Married, unmarried, doesn't matter. Okay, your thought life, your looking at video screen life, if you're not fighting it, you're yielding it to it. You're a slave to it. Okay? Epithumia. It is powerful, people. It is so powerful. I'm just giving you two examples. Buying stuff and sexual drive. It's powerful. Okay. If you are a Christian, you have been crucified with Christ. Could you picture? Which means your sin and sin nature has been crucified. Okay? And how could your sin be extinguished? Continue to crucify it. If that's not happening in your life, you're yielding it to it. You're living in it right now. Okay. You have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, which means sin has been crucified, and you need to let that sin die there. When it is crucified on the cross, it has no power, but it's going to try to come down, and you're going to, if you let it come down and yield to it and obey to it and enjoy it, it's going to become a powerful force in your life. So it is vital for you to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit and taking your sin nature, sin desires to the cross every single day. If that's not happening, you're yielding to it. You're living in it, living as a slave to sin. And if that's not happening in verse 11, there is no verse 12. That's why there is no proclamation in you. Is there a proclamation of Christ's greatness in your life? I'm really asking you. Unless this is happening, there's going to be no proclamation. You'll do it here and there, but that's about it. You probably hear this kind of voice. Hey, look at you. You're an addict. What do you mean you're proclaiming his goodness? Satan will come you and kind of haunt you down. So real Christian life, right, is walking with the Holy Spirit, listening to the power of the Holy Spirit, seeing that kind of desire. Yes, Lord, I need you. You don't just say I'm weak. No, I need you. You bring it to the cross. You bring it to the cross. Let it die. And Christ pay for it all. And trusting that you have been already set free from this sin. Amen. If you're a buying addict, you need to be set free, people. How many of you are buying addicts? Would you say amen? I know there are a lot of buying addicts. A lot of buying addicts. Game addicts, alcohol addicts. Sexual addicts. Greed addicts. You could never shine Christ like that. Okay? Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. So the key is to walk in the Spirit and obey him. Without that walk of the Holy Spirit, there is no shining of your light on the externals. The passions of the flesh wage war against your soul. Right now, it may be a critical juncture. You're in your late 20s, early 30s. You're at a real critical juncture. If you keep yielding to it and be defeated and just kind of given up, pretty soon you're going to be living in it. That's why so many people walk away. House, kids, baby, providing for the family, money, vacation, hey, good restaurant, good clothing, and then perhaps a little bit of giving, kind of Christianity. This is a reality, truth that the Bible speaks about, waging war, and it's a lifetime battle, and I would like to add a lifetime serious battle. If you're not fighting this, you are living in it right now. Would you look at me? Would you answer to the Lord? If you're not fighting it right now, you are living in it right now. Living in it. But with the presence of the Holy Spirit, you will be victorious. Walk with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Walk with the Holy Spirit. My citizenship is in heaven. I eagerly wait a Savior and a King from there. Okay? My hope is set on that, right? I am migrant and immigrant in this world. I have no reason to be greedy. Pretty soon, when Lord calls me, I cannot even take one penny with me. I'm just leaving everything behind. Don't be greedy, people. But I pray that you would have a desire to proclaim His goodness this year and through your life. I don't know about you, but that's my passion. I'm going back to where I met the Lord today. First service of New Church Plant. I don't know how many people will show up, maybe 5 people, 10 people. I don't even know. I don't care. That's up to the Lord. It doesn't really make any difference to me. But I want to proclaim His goodness. I want to proclaim His goodness. Do you know what happens? Like when we went to Africa a couple weeks ago, we had a Galatian studies, and lay leaders were leading the Bible study for the pastors there, African pastors. Okay? It was so interesting for me to watch. I kind of anticipated that, but it was kind of interesting to watch. It was scheduled like this. 1 hour lecture and then Bible study. 1 hour lecture and then another Bible study with the African pastors. And I only lectured for one, like usually for an hour. And the Bible study went on for like hour, hour and a half, and even longer. And it would not stop. Okay? And I noticed these lay leaders come and really coming alive. Their soul was alive. They really, really enjoyed. And I've never seen them like that, honestly. Okay? And you know what was happening? As they were facilitating and sharing the gospel, their soul was coming alive. And I really saw that. Those of you who went to Africa, if that's true, can you say amen? I really saw that. How about your soul right now? Do you proclaim Christ? You know why you don't proclaim Christ? Maybe you are living under the influence of passion of your flesh all the time. Sexual drive, success drive, buying drive, eating drive. I gotta eat good food. Where's the 5-star restaurant? That's what your passion is about. I gotta get this. I could save up next few months and pay this, so let me get this. That's what's driving your life. Extinguishing all the fire for the Lord. Brothers and sisters, look at me, please. And I pray that this year you will come alive. You will humble yourself and come alive. Okay. I want to close. Are you walking in the Spirit? I'm seriously asking this question, people. Otherwise, what is your life about then? Kind of like powerless paper kind of Christianity. paper Christianity. Is that okay? I want to just close with an exciting picture here, exciting picture. If you abstain as sojourners and exiles, abstain from the passions of the flesh through the power of the Holy Spirit, let your life be honorable so that, what would be the outcome? When they, those people who do not know you, speak against you, let's say that's your father. Why do you go to church? Why do you go to church? What does that do? They always tease you. They mock you. They speak against you as evildoers, but they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. What that means is this. By the grace of God, one day your unbelieving father will begin to see the truth. Look at me. One day your unbelieving father could see the truth and begin to see the weight of their sin. They see themselves, they're getting old, and soon the life will end. And they begin to think about what's going to happen afterward. I'm going to stand before the Lord. And they begin to see and seek the truth and see the gospel and begin to see the grace of God. Okay? God's visitation. When that happens, you know what happens? They're going to remember the good life that you demonstrated, the patience, all that time that you were patient with your dad, with the love of Christ. And they're going to remember that, and they will glorify God. That's what it means. Isn't that a beautiful thought? I know a husband in this congregation who just resist come to Christ, just like maybe your father. And the wife endured, and she just endured. And she prayed. She just consistently being patient with her husband, this very demanding husband. And finally he came to know the Lord. Finally came to know the Lord. Okay? Isn't that a great, wonderful picture on the first Sunday of 2024? I don't know whether you have people like that in your family. How many of you need your dad come to know the Lord? How many of you need your mother needs come to know the Lord? How many of you need your husband come to know the Lord? How many of you need your son or daughter needs to come to know the Lord? How is that going to happen? You live as sojourners and exiles, walking in the Spirit, abstaining from the passions of the flesh, which wage against our soul. So we live differently, completely differently. And you know what? When that is happening on the inside, your outside will change. If you try to change outside without changing inside, we call that hypocrisy. It's not going to happen. That's why it is not changing. But that's what Scripture is teaching. The meaning is, through the unbelievers and critics of Christian gospel, by grace, when they see the truth of the gospel, their heart and life is drawn and turned to Jesus. And when God began to move and draw the hearts of these critics and unbelievers, they will respond with saving faith. Your father could come to a saving faith. And would you say amen to that? If you're not excited about that, you need to repent before the Lord. You really need to repent. You're living in the world right now. When the Lord moves the heart of the unsaved and enables them to see the reality of sin and the gospel, they'll remember the faithful, sincere Christians. What a beautiful thought. Okay, what a beautiful thought. Can I just close with this statement? Someone said, we are Bibles. We are the Bibles the world is reading. And we are the truth the world is needing. And we are the sermons the world is heeding. You can't expect your family to come to know Christ until this is happening. They'll look at you and they'll say, yeah, that's useless. Or they'll look at you and say, man, there's got to be something. There's got to be something. The most convincing, powerful way of proclaim Christ is the power of the gospel carry through the power of your righteous life. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you would desire to live that righteous life. Let's pray.